dansant.
Écoutez RPTS. Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. When I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne. Cézanne, the father of cubism. Well, some people say that it was Picasso. Other people claim it was the Chirico. Some people think
got my theme song. Good morning. Well, the three Mavericks are here this morning. At least that's what Mark Willey calls them. And Webster's Dictionary refers to the, that this is the college edition number 2, Maverick, an Americanism, of course. We knew that, didn't we? And it was a Texas rancher who did not brand his cattle. A strayed calf, formerly the legitimate property of the first person who branded it. That was what that was. And it's a person who, number two, a person who takes an independent stand. I'm going to settle for that, okay?
Good.
Sounds all right.
Sounds good to me.
Is that all right?
I think it's perfect.
You look like you have a question.
A motherless calf. It was one I looked up.
Yeah.
But I'll say independent. Sounds okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, you looked it up too? Did you look up the word?
I like looking up words.
Yeah, I do too. I keep the dictionary right at hand at all times. Yeah. And the thesaurus.
Yeah.
You keep the thesaurus close by. Anyway, the three Mavericks that I have with me on Art Focus this morning are George Johansson. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Julie.
And Melinda Thorsness.
Good morning, Julie.
And William Park.
Good morning, Julie.
All well-known and exceptionally fine artists in this community. The latest work of these three persons will be showing right now at the Willey Gallery in the Pearl District and the Mark Willey Gallery in the Wonder Ballroom, the new Wonder Ballroom. And if you have not been there, you need to go because it is really kind of fabulous. The gallery is downstairs and is very large, and upstairs is the Wonder Ballroom itself, and on the walls are the fabulous murals of Tom Cramer. They've been muted a little, but they go all around the very huge and marvelous Wonder Ballroom. And this is, this building is, anybody know anything about the Wonder Ballroom? It's a made-over ballroom, isn't it? Was it just falling apart, I think?
Yeah, wasn't it a Hibernium hall or something?
Maybe so.
I don't even know how to pronounce the word. Do you have your dictionary?
Yes.
But I think, as I recall, I read something not too long ago about that it was 1914 when it was first built as a Hibernium, which, like, I don't know who the Hibernian people are, but...
I'm not sure who they are either, but...
Mark, where are you?
We should get... probably we'll get call-ins. People will have information on Hibernian. Yeah. That was not in my dictionary. I didn't look it up in the dictionary because I didn't actually know it was the Hibernian hall.
It's stuck in my craw, but, you know, my brain cell does have holes in it, so...
Yeah. But anyway, this area is filling up with galleries, with artists' workshops. And Bill, you are going to get a space over there. Is that right?
Well,
we know that 333 is there.
Yes, they're south of the Wonder, and I have a new studio that's on Martin Luther King, just north of Russell, and so it's just a hop and a skip from the Wonder Ballroom.
Okay.
New beautiful big space with a print studio and my painting studio.
Well, your work is looking really very, very, very well down in the Pearl District right now. And you have some very interesting subject matter on the walls, such as the bald-headed persons. please tell a little bit more about those. Are they monoprints?
Oh, there are some monotypes and some paintings. And about 3 years ago, I spent the year doing self-portraits, and these evolved into the top of my head. You know, I shaved my head, and did a number of paintings from different angles of my head in different configurations, and I had a lot of fun with it. For me, it's a shape that means something to me abstractly. I think it has to do with birth and protection, and there's humor is a big part of my life, and I like to bring that into my work as well. And so I have some things that are very serious and some that I have a lot of fun with. But I think the bald heads are, a lot of them are called appreciation and beauty or study and beauty. And I think there's just something about, bald is beautiful that from way back, and I just played off on that a little bit.
Okay. So, well, we're going to come back to you, but now we're going to ask Melinda to go back to the Hibernian Hall, which, and a caller has called in to say Hibernia is the Latin term for Ireland.
Oh, I see. Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
I should have prepared better. I'm amazed I could actually grab that word out of my head, actually.
You did well.
Thank you, Julie.
Let's go outdoors in your paintings. Mm-hmm. To start with, and tell us what medium you use and something about what we're going to see there.
Well, I work in oil on canvas, yes. And what you're going to see at the Wonder Ballroom is a few new pieces, mostly work that I've done probably within the last 5 years. And so, if you've come to my shows before, you might see a familiar painting or two. But anyway... what was your question now?
Well, the subject matter, I don't know what, I've forgotten what it was. I think I wanted to ask you, your children out of doors is my close memory of that.
Yeah, well, it was, the actual fact of the matter is that I've been a figure painter, of course, my whole career.
Yes.
And I think that's what Bill and George and I all have in common, is that through hell or high water, we paint figures. It doesn't matter what the trend is. There we are, plugging away. And actually, after September 11th, I had a real, real hard time trusting adults. And that's when I started doing the children, because that seemed like a way to actually do the figure without, Anyway, and though most people, for some reason, didn't get it, these paintings that I do are very, very political. The last series that I did that I showed last summer was all about losing control, having the man jumping through hoops and all that stuff. And the show before that with the kids was all about the build-up to the war. And it's in my mind, that's what I was doing. But people thought, I was talking about my 50s childhood. No. No, I'm much, much deeper than that. Thank you.
My observation is that the children are not just standing there having their pictures painted. Yeah. There is something else. There's a curious, suspicious kind of feeling to some of your paintings. What is that? It's a
probably because I didn't find childhood to be very nice at all. And I didn't like I didn't like it at all. I mean, I truly, truly just hated being little. I remember, being about two and just being just livid that I couldn't reach the sink. I couldn't tie my shoes. And I was like, what is going on here? And like I say, I don't see the sweetness in childhood particularly. Uh-huh. And I think people underestimate what goes on in the brains of children.
Okay.
I truly do.
Uh-huh. So. The children here don't really relate to each other. Except to in a kind of wonderment.
Yeah. Well, that's about
it. And suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, if you've ever seen two little kids that pass each other in a grocery store, they like lock eyes and stare at each other, like turn around and stare. It's interesting. But anyway, it has nothing to do with children. It has to do with the politics of what's going on in this country right now, which, as I say, we are being played for fools. And that's why the last show was all men, not having anything, but trying to make us jump through hoops, mm-hmm. And there was, several paintings that were in that genre.
Okay,
that's enough about me.
Good.
George,
good. Go. And George has... these are beautiful nude figures. And would you tell us more about how you've been working on? Have you been working on these a long time? And what are they made of? And other things that you might like to say.
Sure. I've been going to a life drawing session for years and years, regularly, once a week, and it's something that I just enjoy very much. And these about half a dozen of the paintings in this show are based on the life drawings that I've done. And then the other section of my show is based on dancers. And I've gone around to various dance groups, Oregon Ballet Theater and Conduit and so on, and have gone to performances and made sketches and worked on photographs and so on. And I find the dance theme a very compelling one to work with. So in a sense, that my show is made up of partly very still figures, which is the nudes, and then partly very moving and active figures, which is the dancers. So it's in my mind it involves time a little bit. In that, in those two aspects of the nudes, I think of as very, very contemplative and quiet in terms of the time. And I'm involved mostly with working color with the nudes, just kind of hyping the color and working with various kinds of color combinations. With the dancers, I'm more involved in finding a kind of equivalence in what the dancers do and certain emotional aspects that I'm looking for.
Okay, could I ask a question? Mm-hmm. The four nudes on the south wall, the ones that have color in mm-hmm. them besides sepia and dark browns mm-hmm. and so forth. Those are more finished, I think, than some of the rest, aren't they? They're less of a sketch and more of a full painting.
Than the dancers?
Than the dancers, yeah.
It's a matter of a difference of approach in the medium, I think. They're all oil on paper.
Uh-huh.
And with the nudes, I'm starting with a sketch that I've done in the life class and enlarging that on the paper and then doing kind of layering of color.
Yeah.
Whereas in the dancers, they're again a prepared paper. And I'm working with a single oil color, so it'll be a burnt umber or a burnt sienna.
Yeah.
And really working with the gesture and the action of the figure. And as a matter of fact, these come very much from the idea of monoprint.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
In that, in a monoprint, you're usually working on a slick surface of glass or metal. And making the image by wiping it out and adding to it and scraping and so on, and then you print it once you've got it to your liking. And on the way I treat this paper, the paper is very slick, and I can work with oil paints on it, wiping it away and scraping it, and actually washing the whole thing off if I want to, and or parts of it, and coming back. And therefore, there's a kind of fluidity in the medium that suits me very much.
There's a kind of texture to some of the medium behind these figures,
and yes.
It's very interesting and beautiful. It's and did I see some little tiny numbers or some little ABCs or something in repetition of numbers?
That's interesting. You're finding something in there that's maybe there that I don't know about.
I looked very closely, and I was very intrigued by the texture and how you made space with these different marks.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something a little bit new in, that I'm working with in the drawings, is sort of laying on big layers of wash and then blotting it up and with newspapers and wax paper and so on, and trying to and then integrating that with a very controlled figure. So so it has a kind of looseness and maybe in some ways the texture is kind of like decayed surfaces or surfaces that are kind of growing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that you could probably say for all three of us is we really like the medium of oil.
You love it. Yep. You love it.
So, George, the dancers, do you work from drawings as well, or are you working from life?
Well, all of it is from observation and from different sources. So it's I find it very difficult to draw with dancers because all you can draw is very loose gestures. So I take photographs there. But I think the important thing for me about that is that about the photographs is that it's something I've observed directly, and then I photograph it. So it's in my memory as an observation and not just as a photograph when I'm working from it.
Very good. They're beautiful.
Do you work from photographs?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I work from everything. I work from photos, drawings, life.
I don't think there's an artist that doesn't.
I was going to say you have some monoprints, William.
Yes.
In your...
Please call me Bill.
Bill. Okay. You have monoprints in the Mark Woolley Gallery downtown in the Pearl. And you are dealing with water quite a lot and people in water.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about those? Those are really successful, don't you think?
Well, thank you.
The dark ones in particular.
They're interesting to me.
Water falling.
Water and people are a recurring theme with me. And, I mean, people, probably if I figure out why I work with water all the time, other than the superficial reasons, then I'll probably find that I'll go on to something else. But right now, there's something about water that, it's part of me. I guess we're all mostly water, but there's something about the visual aspect of water. I think I select subjects that I can work with abstractly, that I can do anything with. And people in water, you can do anything with the shapes, and they still, they come off as realistic.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm a closet abstract artist when it comes down to it.
Well, I think what you do that's interesting to me is that kind of wonderful visual combination of abstraction and realism, so that your work often looks abstract from a distance, and then you realize that there's subject, and then you find the subject in it. And so when you're viewing it, it's an interesting back and forth between subject and abstraction.
Okay, it just doesn't look like I'm neurotic and I can't make up my mind which I want to do.
No. They do come alive, though, like John Lennon looking through a group of what looks to be a Parcheesi board or something. What is it? But John, you have a crush on John Lennon?
I wouldn't call it a crush.
I wouldn't either, but I did. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
John has been like a mentor to me for a long time, and I've done work that involves him periodically. Last year, I did a series of paintings that involved him, and I think there's something about his. I would love my work, my paintings, to make me feel the way his music makes me feel. And there's something about his honesty. He had greatness, and he was really flawed. And he never tried to hide any of that. It was all part of him. It was part of his public persona.
The original Maverick.
Yes, yeah, he was. And and also the glasses have something to do with it. I like his eyesight was probably as bad as mine, and the image of the glass, him wearing glasses, is also something that is very interesting to me. It's also personal.
Okay.
I would like to, monotypes are something that I do periodically. I mean, I'm primarily a painter, but monotypes have affected my painting more than any other single influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's there's something about the surprise, the fact that you can work and try so many ideas so quickly that that causes me to keep doing the monotypes.
Yeah, I really understand that, because monotypes, for me, I put a bunch of paint on, and then nature takes over and does what it does, and it's a revelation. It's a beautiful revelation. It can cure you of anything, just about. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's wonderful for experimenting, and your tortured mind will appear in a monotype sometimes, too.
Very definitely. And your beautiful mind, too.
Yeah, both. Yeah. And both can appear on the same page.
Yeah.
So yeah. It has an experimental quality that's very intriguing.
Yeah, surprise elements, very important in monotypes.
And all three, I think all three of you get that excitement, cerebral excitement into your painting. I see that in all three of your paintings.
Well, I think there's a kind of juiciness in the painting of all of us. And mm-hmm. Maybe in contrast to a lot of work that's being done today that's rather flat and controlled, mm-hmm. I think, as Melinda mentioned earlier, I think all of us really have a love for painting and mm-hmm. for the juiciness of paint.
I agree.
And, it's something that attracts me more and more as I get older and work with painting, is that aspect of painting just really keeps intriguing me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. I'm going to slide off for a minute and say I have very much enjoyed your picture of Rachel Griffin that's been hanging out in the Portland Art Museum. Has had that on display for a long time. And it's the real Rachel Griffin, if anybody ever knew her.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you seen that?
Yes, actually.
George?
I remember. What year was that? 1970? What you did those?
76 or 8,
was
something
it,
like that.
Was it that?
Yeah.
I thought it was earlier than that. But yeah, that whole series you did was just fabulous.
Yeah.
Because you did Rachel, and you did Manuel, and you did... how many did you do of your friends and...
Oh, that was the show I had at the museum that was called 18 People in 14 Paintings. So
yeah.
they were
fabulous.
All full-length portraits.
Yeah, they were
and
just...
some were two people in a painting, and most of them were single portraits.
Yeah.
But Mike and Sally were
the history of Portland art, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it
actually...
Well, I was very pleased to... That painting of Rachel was just given recently by her daughter, who owned it, to the museum. And I was really pleased to have it there. And I think Bruce was pleased to get it, too, because he was, he's very fond of Rachel. Absolutely. And and I think it honors Rachel in a way that, you think of the art community and the way it moves on. And I would guess that maybe there are not more than two or three people at the art museum who knew Rachel at all.
I've been identifying this painting to strangers,
right.
I want you to know. If I'm standing around and people come up and look at it and I say, that's Rachel Griffin.
Well, I'm going to recommend that they put a little label by it saying at least a little paragraph about who she was.
I wish they would. They really should do that.
Because she was... tremendous importance to the art community for years and years.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, she was
curator at the museum and ran a wonderful radio program for years.
Yes, she did.
Called At the Art Museum.
Didn't she? Mm-hmm. She talked
once a week, 10 minutes.
She had a. Who did she talk to on that radio program?
Well, she
different artists.
It was artists, sure. Artists and critics, anyone she could get, and they all related around a particular show that would be at the museum that week.
Yeah,
wasn't she also instrumental in what was that program where a group of investors would get together and pile their money together.
Art Advocates?
Art Advocates. Wasn't she part of that?
I think she had something to do with that, too.
Oh, gosh.
The reason I know all this history is that 35 years ago this year, George was my thesis advisor.
Interesting.
35 years ago this year.
When it was the museum school.
Yeah.
And it was in a hole in the basement.
It was in a hole in the basement my first year. It was at Culpeper Terrace for the next 2 years, and we were the first class to graduate in 1971 from the new school.
That's right.
Yeah, long time. Long time.
Yeah. Well, I should ID the program and people up in Hood River. This is KBOO 90.7 FM. And we're talking to William Park this morning and Melinda Thorsness and George Johansson about their work, which is at both the Mark Woolley Galleries and opening tonight. And I want to read the statistics here, too.
Julie, just you said we're all at those, but actually Bill is at the Pearl.
Yes,
venue,
he's at the Pearl venue.
And Melinda and I are at the Wonder Ballroom on the east side. So just to make that a little clear.
And actually, we're not opening tonight. We're opening tomorrow night, George and I.
Friday night.
William, Bill, is opening tonight and did last night, so he's a busy boy.
Okay, and you had a big opening last night then, too, William.
Yes, I did.
Yes, okay. The Three Mavericks, and George Johansson has works on paper, Melinda Thorsness selected works, and William Park. It says 10 years, 1995 to 2005. Your exhibition is located at Mark Woolley in the Pearl. And the show dates are February 3rd to the 25th. That's Tuesdays through Saturdays from 11 to 6. And the opening reception, people, Friday, February 3rd, 2006, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and open house Saturday, February 4th, 2:06, from noon to 8 p.m. Okay, yeah. And that's at the William, the Mark Woolley Gallery, right?
Well, that one is at 128 Northeast Russell. Yeah. Is where Melinda and I are showing. That's,
yes.
That's the Woolley.
And I say, we'll be there Friday night and partially on Saturday. William, would you like to come to our opening?
I would love to.
Thank you.
Will be there.
Well, you're right around the corner anyway. We'd be offended
we'll
if you didn't.
Give you a glass of wine if you come.
Oh, thank you. I'll come twice then.
Okay.
Good. All right. Well, George Johansson, I'm glad you came this morning. We have about half a minute here, so I need to close. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
And William Park, thank you very much, and good luck to you, too.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Melinda Thorsness, so great to see you
again. It's so great to see you again.
I was at Melinda's wedding. Well, you were married in a church over there in Southeast.
North. We have Polish Hall. At the Polish Hall. Yes.
The Polish Hall. And
I'm a North Portland girl, okay?
Very glamorous wedding.
It was. It was lovely. And it's worked out well. It's been 17 years now.
And now you live up the river, almost to Hood River.
We live in Corbett now.
Oh, Corbett.
Which is right above Crown Point, basically.
And you have a fabulous view, and
we don't have a gorge view, but we've got lovely room for our dogs to run, and I have a fabulous studio. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, and so this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
Style and I see a cubist painting. I just got a smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name is Cézanne, the father of cubism.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. And here's a piece of information that was called into the radio zine today. There's a vegan conference and march at 10 o'clock Saturday in the North Park Blocks. For more information on this, you can call 503-238-7787. 503-238-7787. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, focusing today on Al Jazeera.
Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!, broadcasting from Doha, Qatar, as we join you from the headquarters of Al Jazeera. We take a look at the Arabic TV network with Dr. Faisal Al-Qassem.